Thank you very much, Lynn. Ruth chapter 2. Right after Judges, and set in the time of Judges. Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" The servant in charge of the reapers replied, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work, and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposefully pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and said, "The name of the man with whom I worked today is Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." Again Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, so that others do not fall upon you in another field." So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. and she lived with her mother-in-law. Here once again we come to the beautiful little story of Ruth, set in the turbulent times of the judges. Those times when the people just couldn't get it into their heads and have it locked there, how much like us, that it is only to our advantage to walk with the Lord and to stay faithful to Him. The chapter 1 of Ruth tells us of the tragedy that comes upon Bethlehem and how that Elimelech, Naomi's husband, chooses foolishly to leave that city of Bethlehem, which last week we called the bakery of Israel, because Bethlehem means house of bread. And they wander off to Moab. There Elimelech dies, and there, after Naomi's two sons take wives for themselves, those two boys die. And the horrible situation falls upon Naomi that she is a widow and without any support in a foreign land. People in the ancient world would understand perfectly well just how desperate the situation was. But Naomi hears that there is bread once again in the house of bread. The bakery has been restocked, and she intends to go home. One of her daughters-in-law kisses her and bids her farewell after at first seeming to head off with her. But Ruth makes a decision that is going to stand for life and for death. She says, "Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Nothing shall separate me from you." Naomi comes home, but rather than it be a shout of glad welcome, she says to them, "Do not call me what you used to call me. It's time for a name change. Instead of calling me Naomi, which means pleasant, call me Mara, which means bitter, for the Lord the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but I am coming back empty." But Naomi, she did the right thing in coming home, though it was humiliating, though there was embarrassment, she did the right thing to come home. But chapter 2, we start to read about Naomi and the extended family that we hadn't heard about before. And every time we come across the name Ruth, and once again the name the Moabitess is held out to us, we are reminded that here it is that she is a foreigner, she is a stranger, she is an alien to the covenant people of Israel, to the Jews. Why would they care about her? Why would they give her any attention? Well, Ruth understood in her time that there was a privilege that was afforded to those who had no other help, that at the time of harvest, they were privileged to go and to glean in the fields. If you go to Leviticus chapter 19, and verses 9 and 10. In the law of Moses, we have this held out. "Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God." You see, the same God who had provided for the people of Israel, he was also concerned for those who had no help, who had no support, that they in like manner be provided for, that he was going to be their God as well. So Ruth the Moabitess, Ruth the foreigner. Ruth, the one who seemingly had no one to care for her, talks to her mother-in-law and says, I am going to go and do what I am allowed to do. And Naomi says to her, go, my daughter. Some people find it very surprising that nowhere in the Bible does it say the Lord helps those who help themselves. But here, Ruth, she does not lay down as a dead fish and say, well, whatever is going to happen is going to happen. But she gets up and she does something that is permitted to her. Now, verse 3, she departs and she goes and she's wandering down the road, and probably one field looked as good as any other. She departs and went, and she gleaned in the field after the reapers, and it says, she happened. King James, it was her hap. She happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. There we have just sort of the word on the street, just sort of the report of what happened way back then. Perchance. But there is no chance when God is orchestrating the events. Here it just seemed that, well, let's go here into this field. It just so happened that the portion of the field in which she was working belonged to Boaz, who was of the same family of her father-in-law, the family of Elimelech. Your life is not guided by mindless forces. Your life and mine, we have someone who watches over us, who orchestrates our life, even though it might not be what we would choose ourselves, someone who in love is leading us, taking us by the hand. And here it is, not for just Naomi, someone who could trace their lineage back to Abraham and trace their line back to blessing. But here a foreigner, here an outcast, here someone who knew nothing of Bethlehem and the God of the Bible. Here we have one guided into a field, not just any field, but a field in which she would know abundant blessing. Now here in the book of Ruth, we not only have leading up to the conclusion where we are led to understand that here is an ancestor of David, and obviously an ancestor of Jesus himself. But in this story, we see a picture of Jesus himself in the person of Boaz, the one who would redeem that which had fallen to the side, that which had fallen into debt, one who would redeem, one who would provide. Boaz comes out from the bakery, from Bethlehem, and he wants to check in on the reapers, see how they're doing. They exchange a greeting of blessing one to the other, and he asks, who is this? Whose young woman is this? The servants in verse 6 reply, she is that young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. Time and time again, her past is brought into the present, and her ancestry is held right in front of her. And for everyone else, should they have missed it in the small community of Bethlehem, here is a foreigner, here is an alien, and she will know God's blessing. Verse 7. She said, please let me glean. And it's explained what is going on, that she has worked hard through the day. Boaz interacts for the first time with her in verse 8. And he tells her, do not go into another field. He is concerned to protect her and her integrity. Let your eyes be on the field in which you reap. I have commanded the servants not to touch you. I wonder what the servants were suspecting was going on. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink what they drink. Here she is elevated from a foreigner. She is elevated from Ruth the Moabitess, worshiper of foreign gods, to one who is on par with Boaz's own servants. Now see how that gratitude is expressed. Verse 10, rather than saying, well, you know, that's just the way I should be treated. I'm a human being. I'm created in the image of God. I have dignity. There is a certain majesty to me, just like you. But rather than being insolent, rather than taking it for granted, she falls on her face. And bowing to the ground, she says, why have I found favor in your sight? She knew who she was. She knew what kind of treatment she might expect. Why have I found such favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? You see, it wasn't simply others who were pointing this out, but Ruth herself understood this perfectly well. Well, why have any of us found favor in God's sight? Why is it that God's kindness should be shown to any of us, and we wonder and we puzzle, and there is no good answer except that grace has been shown to us, even as grace and mercy and kindness was shown to Ruth here? But Boaz does reply to her and said, all that you have done for others has been told me. Verse 12, may the Lord reward your work. Did you know that God will be no man's debtor? That what we do for others, the Lord will repay to us? God treats his own people as his very own flesh and blood. And Boaz says, verse 12, may the Lord reward your work and your wages be full, not from him, but from the Lord. Far better, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. You see, it wasn't idle words that Ruth had spoken. I am going to leave my people. I'm going to kiss my family farewell. I am going with you, Naomi. Your people shall be my people. Your home where you lodge, I will lodge. End of story. Verse 14, the plot gets even thicker. At mealtime, Boaz bids her to come from the periphery of the circle into the very inner circle itself. He says, come, don't just eat that dry bit of bread. Dip your piece of bread in the vinegar that it might be easier to swallow, that it might be more tasty than ever before. And she sat beside the reapers. What a picture of what Christ has done for every one of us. We who were on the outside looking in, Jesus comes and he bids us come right up to the table. He is the one who extends such an invitation to us. She sits right beside the reapers. And Boaz, it says, he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied. It wasn't just a nibble. Those people, when Jesus fed the multitudes there in Galilee, we read that when they were satisfied, it wasn't that they each had a little crumb, but they had a full meal, and then Jesus said, now gather up the fragments. Here this woman, she ate, she was satisfied, and there was some left over. She goes out once again later in the day. Boaz makes things even more thick. He says to his harvesters, Let her come even right up beside you. Do not rebuke her. Do not mock her. Do not degrade her. And I want you to purposely pull out some of the grain which is in your hand, which the law of Moses would say, that is Boaz's property. I want you to, just on the sly, I want you to take some of that and just drop it beside you as though you were accidentally dropping it that she might have more. See the provision, see the kindness, see the favor which is extended to her. Well, Ruth does this. She gleans. She takes what is available to her. She goes home. Her mother-in-law realizes that something is afoot here. There is something going on, and she nails it right when she says, "Here is God's blessing, and may he who took notice of you be blessed. He is one of our closest relatives. Stay there. Stay where there is blessing." What is it in your life that has happened? Just sort of happened. You said, well, chance led me to Winnipeg. Chance led me to a certain occupation. Chance led me to a certain career and job and office. Chance led me to a life partner. Chance led me. It just so happened that I was in a coffee shop and met up with. Would you not see in your life that God is working blessing? That for no reason, for no good justification of your own, that God has brought blessing and favor and his kindness? And would you respond in the very same way as Ruth did when she would say, "How is it that you take notice of me? How is it that I have entered into such favor since I am from the outside? I am from the outside." Now you might say, "Well, I really am from the outside." Remember chapter 1. Remember that there was utter foolishness. Remember that there were bad decisions upon bad decisions. Remember that there was things totally that went sideways. But then chapter 2. Keep reading the story. That God is the one who wants to bring about blessing upon blessing in your life. In your life. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? There's an old adage among preachers, "Preach to the broken heart, for there's one on every pew of every church." Is your heart broken today? And perhaps especially as November quickly comes to a conclusion and we enter into what is supposed to be such a time of celebration, the celebration just seems so bitter in your mouth. It just tastes all wrong. Have there been decisions that you've made this year or somewhere in years gone by? And how you would love to go back and relive those, but you can't. There's been pain upon pain. You see the story of Naomi and you say, "Wow, that sure sounds like the road that I've walked." Would you come home? Would you come home to the God who loves you, who cares for you, the God who delights in you, who calls you by name, who knows all of the decisions, all of the things that you have been a part of, and yet loves you still with an everlasting love, would you come home to this God, the God of the Bible? And would you look for his favor, though an outcast, though a foreigner, though a part of horrible decisions in days gone by? I would encourage you to look for the goodness of God that would seem to this world's perspective to be just chance. It just so happened. It didn't make sense. Would you see that as the hand of God providing, leading, caring for you in the midst of sorrow and difficulty, pain? Lord, I give you thanks for the story of Ruth. I give you thanks for the choices which she made. But Lord, we might never, ever have heard of this woman. There's been kindness shown time and time again over the years, over the centuries, one person caring for another. But there's something different here because of your hand of blessing, your good favor upon an outcast. Lord, I pray that there would be men and women here today who would take abundant and rich encouragement, knowing that the Lord cares still, that the favor of the Almighty is still abundant and rich into lives here today. So I pray that you would work. I pray, first of all, that that kindness would be seen in the coming of Jesus Christ to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer and Lord. And Lord, I pray that there would be joy as we enter into the Christmas season, that there would be joy unspeakable, knowing of your goodness and of your kindness to each and every one of us in being our Savior, in being our Redeemer. So work in hearts and lives here, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.